Now, Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides his enemies, my enemies, because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren hath borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillows of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversary, shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. And Mary said, okay, get ready for this. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He hath brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So here we have Anna was married to Elkanah, and Elkanah had two wives. And one of them was very fertile, and her name is Peninnah. And she used to tease Hannah and make fun of her because Hannah was barren, and this was not good. And so every year when they came and offered sacrifices to the Lord, Elkanah would give sacrifices for Peninnah and her children, but he would give a double portion to Hannah because he loved Hannah. But the word says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And he did it every year, and she would weep and not eat, Hannah, when they came to these, because her soul would be grieved. So Elkanah says to her, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? For I am better to thee than 10 sons. I just think that that's wonderful how Elkanah loved her, not for her fecundity, but for herself. But she still had it in her heart, and she vows this vow to God. She says, you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And Eli, the priest, is listening, and he thinks she's drunk because she's moving her lips, but she's not saying anything audibly. He says, are you drunk? You know, get out of here. And she says, no, I'm pouring out my soul to God. And Eli says, well, be it granted to you what you ask the Lord for. And then she says, she went away and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she believed the priest, and she believed God that her prayer was heard and it would be fulfilled. And it was. And so she goes home, she lays with her husband, she conceives. When she has the baby, she says, I'll keep it until it's weaned, and then I'll bring it to the temple. Well, now, Eli, the priest, had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were sons of Belial. They took inordinately from the feast sacrifices the people would bring. They took the best part for themselves, and they were laying with women in some tent near the temple. And Eli was not able, or did not correct them, did not restrain them. So God has a priest that is no priest. He can't function as a priest because he hadn't even gotten his own house in order. And so God's got a prayer in his heart. God wants a priest to serve him, and who can discern and care about God's will and say no to all these fine sons who were David's big brothers. Because he could hear God, he could understand God. No, none of these guys. There must be another one. Oh, yeah, this little guy on the field. So God needed the answer to Hannah's prayer. That Hannah's prayer was part of God's prayer and part of God's answer. And Hannah, when she gave him up, well, every year she would knit him a robe and bring it to him. So she didn't stop loving him. She didn't stop caring about him, but she gave him up. And God blessed her and gave her three more sons and two daughters. And she was already an older woman. So anyway, God really honored her for her willingness to give the very thing that she desired, her very heart's desire, to receive it and give it back to God. And so that God had someone to stand in the gap when he needed, someone to help establish David's kingdom and Jesus's kingdom. So this Hannah, she prayed for years. She didn't stop praying. And I think also with Elizabeth. Elizabeth was older. Both of them were priests of the lineage all the way back to Aaron. And she wanted a child and she kept praying. And here we have God's heart, God's prayer. God wanted John the Baptist to go before Jesus. So Elizabeth's prayer was an answer to God's prayer. That somehow there's something in tandem. When God puts something on a heart, it benefits the kingdom. That we believe God, that we continue, that we persist. Like Sue said a while ago, you knock and you keep on knocking till the door opens. And I feel like there are those of us, well, now Mary, she wasn't expecting anything. But she was open. Whatever you want, God, I receive it. I mean, if somebody had come to me like God and said, hey, I want you to be an unwed mother. And, you know, I go, wait a minute, God, wait, she's considered my sister, you know. But Mary, she just opened her heart to the will and way of God and laid her life down to be pierced with this. I see these three women. They believed God, and he was able to answer the cry of God's own heart through the heart of these women. And I feel like we have in our hearts perhaps some prayer, and we've had it for a long time. And perhaps it was a prayer that was on God's heart for us. There's a song I heard lately that says, remember why you came here. And I thought about Jesus, how they asked Jesus, how God asked Jesus to come do this. And Jesus willingly, yes, I want to come do this. Is it perhaps possible that those of us who are following Jesus ask God, or God ask us, will you go live this life? Will you go shine your light? Will you go love me in front of these, my other sheep? Will you help me bring in the sheep in whatever way? Sometimes it can be in some way that doesn't seem like you don't have to be a preacher or anything. You just have to do what God wants, be open to the heart of God. And I asked God what was on his heart for us. And I felt him saying, believe me to bring those godly dreams to fruition. The ones that we've said, well, I'm too old now. It's too late. Or, well, this, that, and the other. And God says, if it's a godly dream, then believe on, knock on, ask on. Like when Jesus, the last thing he did when he went up to heaven on that mount was he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. And then you will go into all nations, teaching them all things I've observed. I've taught, teaching them to observe all things I've taught you. I feel like some of us need to tarry and believe God and see what first step we can take in the fulfillment of God's heart over our life and of our own heart over our life. Tarry. Remember why you came here. What can I do to really love God and love my neighbor as myself? What does that mean? How can I pray? There's this one song I wrote, a poem, and the first line is, I'm folding 1,000 paper cranes. Well, those are our prayers. I pray, God, for this. I pray again for it, that we would pour out our souls unto God like Hannah and say, God, this matters to me. Does this matter to you? Or say to God, this matters to you. Make it matter to me. Help us to take these dreams, these good dreams, to God. And we have each other to join together with. He says, when two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And we have each other. We can join together and believe God together, that God's heart may rejoice in us, in our activity, in our thoughts, in our spirit. I mean, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. I mean, am I doing this because I love you, or I'm doing it because I don't want you to think I'm a bad person or some weird thing? Anyway, it shall be well as we pray and believe. Let's bless God's heart and each other's heart by believing for that John the Baptist who God may want to burst through us in some symbolic way, in some other way, that the goodness of God can come to us and get through us. Amen.